This podcast episode is made possible in part by a grant from Lilly. Welcome to the BreastCancer.org podcast, the podcast that brings you the latest information on breast cancer research, treatments, side effects, and survivorship issues through expert interviews, as well as personal stories from people affected by breast cancer. Here's your host, BreastCancer.org Senior Editor, Jamie DiPolo.
Hello, thanks for listening. I'm podcasting from the 2023 American Society of Clinical Oncology Annual Meeting. My guest today is Dr. Dennis Slaman, a medical oncologist who is Professor of Medicine and Executive Vice Chair for Research for the UCLA Department of Medicine. He has many, many awards for his scientific accomplishments and is probably best known to our audience for doing the lab and clinical research that led to the development of Herceptin. At this meeting, he presented primary results from the NATALEE trial, which is comparing Kisqali plus hormonal therapy to hormonal therapy alone after surgery for early stage hormone receptor positive HER2 negative breast cancer. Dr. Slaman, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So right now, Kisqali, or ribociclib, as you call it in this study, is approved to treat metastatic breast cancer. What made you think it could offer benefits to people with early stage disease?
The drug has a mechanism that is a basic mechanism, and that is inhibiting the enzymes that control cell division along a certain pathway. And it seems to have a significant effect in our early lab studies in the hormone receptor positive HER2 negative breast cancer cells. And so we took that into clinical testing in advanced breast cancers that were metastatic and found that it improved progression-free survival and improved overall survival. That same mechanism is operational whenever the breast cancer first starts. So it seemed logical that it might have an effect there. And that was the purpose of designing NATALEE and executing the trial.
Okay, and could you describe the NATALEE study for us? Just give us a brief overview.
The NATALEE study tested 5,101 patients, and they were randomized to receive best available standard hormonal blockade versus that same therapy plus this drug ribociclib. And the randomization of 1:1 was basically breaking the population almost in half. They were balanced for all their criteria and characteristics, and we treated them for, rather than 2 years, 3 years with the drug because of its mechanism of action. The longer you keep these cells in arrest, the more they're likely to go into a senescence pathway, or what's a cell death pathway.
Okay. And I don't mean to interrupt, but the Kisqali was for 3 years, but then did people continue on hormonal therapy for either 5 or 10 years?
So absolutely. The patients are, by protocol, will continue on their hormonal blockade for their standard, currently recommended doses of hormonal therapy between 5 and 10 years, depending on the treating physician and the patient.
Sure. And so my understanding from your presentation was these were sort of early results because the results looked so good you were asked to report out. Could you tell us what those were?
Exactly. When you set up studies like this, there are safety criteria put in place for the study, certainly to protect the patients. There's something called a futility analysis, which is the first analysis that occurs. And it's all done by, in a blinded way, there's a data safety monitoring board that monitors. They are the ones that actually see the data. The investigators don't, the sponsors don't. And if it doesn't look like there's at enough events, it doesn't look like there's any kind of separation, the trial is stopped for futility. So you don't continue to enroll patients on something that's not working. Similarly, there are efficacy analyses that are early before you hit the end of the study where you are looking for, 5,000 patients enrolled and an event rate of 500 events to analyze. There was an analysis of 320 some events, an analysis at 425 events, and an analysis at 500 events. The first analysis, there was a difference, but it wasn't big enough that to stop the trial. But there's a safety thing put in place that if it gets to a statistically significant difference, that Data Safety Monitoring Committee declares this trial is stopped because it's achieved efficacy. The reason being, you don't want to continue to randomize patients on the standard therapy if you have something that's looking better.
Sure. And then do people who were randomized to just get hormonal therapy, do they get the option to switch arms, or does
there
that sort
there
of
was
mess
not,
up the study?
There was not. That's an excellent question. There was not an option on this study. Many patients would drop off the study and go on one of the CDK4/6 inhibitors that was approved, either abemaciclib or palbociclib, despite the fact that palbociclib did not show a survival advantage. Other patients stayed on their hormonal blockade, and then we'll do the final analysis on almost 2,000 patients that are still under treatment on the experimental arm, and about 1,850 patients on the control arm. So there's still plenty of power in the trial to see what the final results will be. And the patients who go on these trials are every bit as much a collaborator in these studies as any investigator or any scientist. They are every bit as much a part of the story.
Absolutely. And so could you summarize the results for us? What did you find?
So the results show that when you added this drug to the standard hormonal therapy, you improved the recurrence rate and stopped, I should say, the recurrence rate by 25%. So there was an improvement of 25% in terms of the incidence of recurrences. In terms of the incidence of distant disease recurrences, meaning metastatic disease, it went up 1% to 26%. Both of those were statistically significant. The other important thing about the study is it treated earlier patients, meaning patients with stage 2 disease. We didn't just treat the very highest risk. We said there are patients with intermediate risk, and we know that they still can have recurrences out. 30% will have recurrences out of 2 or 3 decades.
Right.
Can we benefit those patients? And that's why the study included them as well.
Okay. And are you going to follow people for that long?
It absolutely. The study is designed to follow to the 500 event endpoint and beyond. Obviously, we want to report all the data as it unfolds.
Okay. And now what about side effects? Because I know I've talked to a lot of people, hormonal therapy is difficult. Side effects can be very troubling. Some of the CDK4/6 inhibitors have other troubling side effects. How did that play out? Did the people who were on Kisqali have more side effects?
So you clearly, there are patients who are on Kisqali have more side effects. The question is, do they have significant side effects? And that's determined by the patient. So we have patient-reported outcomes. Mm-hmm. We also have objective measures like neutropenia. The drug does cause neutropenia, but nowhere like the neutropenia you see with chemotherapy. The counts don't go as low, mm-hmm. and they don't stay down for as long. The cells recover very quickly. So all that's being monitored. The other thing that was unique to ribociclib was something in the EKG that I think concerned a lot of patients, which is it's called prolongation of the QT interval.
Okay, you're going to have to explain that for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, that's just the rhythm and the electrical rhythm that's going through the heart. Okay. There are certain periods of time between each part of that rhythm cycle. And a prolongation of the initial space could result in rhythm problems. So we're very careful about that. Even if you don't see rhythm problems, even a little prolongation causes you to monitor and watch that very quickly. Both of those were seen at the dose that was set for metastatic disease. Patients who were on the metastatic disease trial who had any sodac went on a dose reduction to 400 milligrams. At the end of that metastatic disease trial, we were able to look at the outcomes for the patients that had a reduced dose. And it turns out their outcomes looked as good as the ones at the 600 milligram dose.
Okay.
So the FDA is not going to go back and reverse the label for the metastatic trial.
Right.
But we thought, why not run the early breast cancer trial at a lower dose and see if we can improve safety?
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what we found. We decreased the neutropenia rate significantly, and we decreased this QTC prolongation to 0.2% of the population from 1.2%. It was low to begin with, and now it's a six-fold decrease lower. So it's really been very safe and very well tolerated. There are no new side effects.
That's great. And so finally, I want to ask, what if you could put these results in context, because I know Verzenio is approved for adjuvant or after surgery for early stage disease. Now we have Kisqali that looks very promising. If I'm diagnosed with this type of breast cancer, how do I decide? Like, how do you decide which is right for you?
So obviously this is a discussion about the patient and their treating physician. The the critical thing is each of these drugs, they're not all the same. They're all different. Palbociclib hasn't achieved a survival advantage or an improvement in recurrence rates in the early breast cancer setting. So it's not in play right now. Mm-hmm. But Verzenio or abemaciclib and Kisqali or ribociclib both have achieved that endpoint where they've decreased these recurrence rates. So now how do you choose between the two?
Yeah, how do you decide?
Well, they have different side effect profiles that we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
The Kisqali or ribociclib has a little bit more of the neutropenia.
Okay.
But again, not the levels that we worry about, like with chemotherapy, and the patients all recover from it. Abemaciclib has less of that, but abemaciclib has more diarrhea. And the diarrhea can be challenging, especially in the early breast cancer setting. These patients are doing well. They're working women. They go to their job. And inducing grade 2 diarrhea is a challenge for a teacher.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you take that into account.
Those are the things that are taken into consideration.
Okay. And discussion between a person and their doctor and ultimately what works best.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the other thing that's taken into consideration is abemaciclib is approved for these high-risk patients, whereas ribociclib was tested in the lower-risk patients, not the lowest risk.
Sure.
But the lower risk patients, the intermediate risk, so to speak.
Okay.
And found that we have a benefit there.
Okay.
So even in patients with stage 2 disease and no negative disease, the drug appears to be having a benefit.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Dr. Slade. Okay. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for listening to the BreastCancer.org podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. To share your thoughts about this or any episode, email us at podcast@breastcancer.org. Or leave feedback on the podcast episode landing page on our website. And remember, you can find a lot more information about breast cancer at breastcancer.org. And you can connect with thousands of people affected by breast cancer by joining our online community.